And as we continue here on Prophecy Today, I want to spend some time digging into information that will assist you in better understanding our Middle East news update. Winky Madad, Israel Madad, has been in the past a regular right here on Prophecy Today, and we normally talk with Winky about political matters in the Middle East. Well, we're going to touch base with some of those issues in a moment, but first, some updates on archaeology in Israel. Winky, we spoke about the archaeological dig at Shiloh, there where you live in Judea and Samaria, sometimes derogatorily used and referred to as the West Bank. Now, we've talked about that in the past, but this week you wrote an op-ed piece for the Jerusalem Post, and actually we have put that, we've posted it on our website. I believe it takes us to your blog, which has the editorial. This op-ed, Winky, talks about the origins of your Jewish community in Judea and Samaria. Talk to us about it. From the very beginning, it actually was an archaeological site, was it not?
Well, yes, actually. You know, sometimes you have to use the tools that God puts at your hand at that moment, even though you're not exactly aware of what's exactly happening. Back in 1977, Menachem Begin was elected with a plurality of Knesset seats, which enabled him to form a government. That's the first time since the state was founded that someone not from a left-wing party had been elected in such a way. And in 1977, a few months afterwards, during what we call the Sukkot holiday, the Gush Emunim movement had launched an operation, shall we call it, of sending 12, a symbolic tribal number, out to various sites in Judea and Samaria. Some of those were able to continue, such as at Bet El, Bet Choron, and what eventually became known as El Cana. However, what we didn't know at the time was that already Moshe Dayan had been had begun his negotiations in Morocco, reaching out for the Egyptian peace partner. And so he was very much adamant that as many of these groups be sent back as possible, and so most of them were. The group at Shiloh, however, did not go home, but stayed at a place called Ofra, which I'm sure you have visited many times. And the original group of about eight families, to make a long story very short, convinced the powers that be that because Tel Shiloh is a very, very important archaeological site, anybody who reads the Bible knows of its importance in terms of the tabernacle, in terms of Samuel, and also all sorts of other figures, that a group should be let back as an archaeological excavation, and that was the start of Shiloh.
And how then did that play into the ongoing community, the Jewish community there in Judea and Samaria of Shiloh? How did that play in? Isn't it still playing in today?
Well, that's it. You see, I think the uniqueness of Shiloh among most of the other communities, perhaps except for Hebron, is very much linked up not only with history and biblical and Middle Ages and early times throughout the history of the world, but actually an ongoing archaeological sense of, are we discovering our past in a very, very physical way, in addition to the spiritual aspect that everybody feels and knows. And so over the years, there's always been some sort of archaeological activity. However, the last real time there was a dig was in 1998, when the beginnings of what we thought was a third basilica church was discovered. And this summer, we discovered what you see on the website, some of the pictures that have been shown, a magnificent 4th century Byzantine church, perhaps one of the first few, and when I say few, I mean the first two or three churches built in the area of Eretz Israel, probably around 380 of the Common Era, which makes it about, 1,700 years old.
These are very unique archaeological sites that must be dealt with. By the way, you do want to go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and there on the homepage you'll see that we have a guest editorial, and you click on that. That'll take you to Winky's blog. That'll help you then be able to know how to find that blog, because that'd be a great time of reading for you every day. But anyway, it'll contain this particular op-ed that was carried in the Jerusalem Post, just in case you missed it. This is going to play a part, is it not, in Shiloh's ongoing opportunity to exist and have a right to be in the land of Israel in Judea and Samaria?
Well, among other things that Jews and Arabs argue about, whether it's demography, whether it's security, whether it's moral, whether it's humanity issues, there's also the dispute, and I'm very sorry to say that many Arabs today just simply do not accept the fact that the Jews were here before them. I'm very friendly with many Muslim scholars, both in Israel and abroad, and they're very much perplexed. There's a political argument, but you cannot deny historical facts. But for some reason, the Palestine Authority is basically driving home the fact that they were the original inhabitants because they're the descendants of the Hittites or some other, perhaps, Canaanite tribe. And for some of the masses who are not able to study carefully historical sources, scientific sources, archaeological sources, for them, they think that we are untruthful speakers, and it's very difficult. So when this thing happens, we say, look, the church was built there because this is where the site where Shiloh originally was, and we have previous sources, and everything begins to slowly but surely link up. I mean, it's not as if you open up a bank account and you see exactly your income and your expenses. Archaeology and history is a little different story. But slowly but surely, we're beginning to build up exactly what happened here in ages past.
Very, very interesting story. Minky, there was another archaeological dig reported at the Western Wall Plaza. This report of an aqueduct dating back to the Second Temple period, actually bringing water, as I understand it, from Solomon's pools near the area of Bethlehem down to the Temple Mount for the purpose of cleansing the Temple Mount of the remains from the sacrifices that had taken place there. Also, water being used for the mikvahs there, for especially the priestly families that were living in the city of Jerusalem. So, dating back and in full operation, it was essential and does prove to some extent pretty vividly that there was a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount.
Absolutely. I mean, as you are probably aware, many years ago, the entire southern section of the Temple Mount outside the wall was dug up, and there were many mikvaot, many mikvahs that were discovered there, lending to the supposition that indeed, when Jews came for sacrifices on a daily basis or on the holidays, they would have to go through a process of purifying themselves, and therefore there was a need of multiple numbers of these pools of water for ritual purity. And so as you would approach, you would simply go into the mikveh and continue on into the Temple Mount in a very orderly fashion.
Well, I had opportunity to speak with the Jerusalem Mufti, the high-ranking Muslim cleric, Sheikh Sabri, who told me there was no evidence ever of a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount or even at the Western Wall Plaza area. I do believe this archaeological find refutes that. In essence, archaeology does have a political component. Well, I opened up our conversation, Winky, by saying we normally talk to you about political things. Let me get one quick question in before I let you go. Sheikh Nasrallah, who heads up Hezbollah there in southern Lebanon, saying that Prime Minister Olmert and Defense Minister Peretz must resign. Do you think either of these men are going to resign? And if they do, what's next?
A politician never does what's best for the country. He does what's best for himself. And at this present moment, most politicians, because of the egos, realize that they would have to fight a battle to remain in office, although it's a foregone conclusion. After Mr. Chalutz, the chief of staff of the Israeli army, dropped out, I mean, he took his direct orders for managing the campaign in the north in Lebanon last summer from a defense minister and a prime minister. We even know from some of the reports that the prime minister phoned up heads of divisions directly over ruling his defense minister, so that they're very much involved in this. And I am sorry that Sheikh Nasrallah is elated about this, but that has nothing to do with him. It has something to do with our, I'm speaking about Israel's capability of making sure that the military forces at our disposal are used properly, intelligently, with foresight, and with the ability to defend the citizens of Israel, which wasn't done during the summer. It could have been Nasrallah, it could have been, and it probably still is, Hamas in Gaza and other places. You cannot have a political solution that would gain any sort of peace with the Arab neighbors without the military strength needed, and Olmert and Peretz are not supplying it.
And thus they must go.
I agree.
Well, amen and amen, as we say in Christian circles. God still has his hand in control in Israel, does he not, Winky?
Sometimes I always question myself again and again, do I see God's work? And every mortal has to ask that question daily when he breathes and eats and when he goes to sleep and rises in the morning, as in our prayers in Judaism we say. Everybody has to do that. And the point I'm trying to make is that the land of Israel was severely injured in 2005 with the disengagement. And you could say that there were many, many secular reasons for opposing that in terms of military strategy, political strategy, etc. like that. We also said it's injuring God's relationship with the land of Israel, which we have to fulfill. And it's amazing how many of the people who, can I say, hurt the land of Israel are paying the price. Dan Chalutz was in charge of the disengagement from the military point of view. Ehud Olmert was the first one who popped the disengagement issue even before Sharon. And Amir Peretz as the leader of the Labor Party, which folded up. So we see, I think, in a certain sense, God's work being done.
Israel Madad. He is very politically savvy, and as we could tell by the beginning of our conversation, knows a bit about archaeology as well. He's the expert, actually, on the tabernacle there at Shiloh. And if you've ever been out there, he's probably given you the guided tour of that particular archaeological site. Winky, thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation with you. Looking forward, we'll be in April in Israel. I want to try to get together with you at that time. But thank you for your contribution. Have a great week.
You too, Jimmy, and to all the listeners, bye-bye.